Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Dallas is led by three. Warriors have led by four. Snapping it outside, Bullock. Three. Hits another one. Two in a row.
K&C Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Mavericks fans, how relieved are you to not
get
swept? Do you think it really matters? And do you think the team can make some noise in Game 5? Those are all of the questions we throw out to begin this.
A lot of questions.
I'd say it feels good not get swept. Yep. I'm not saying it's going to feel good eventually when we lose, but it feels good to not just lose four in a row. So to win a game there at home, for the Mavs fans that were there last night, for them to get to most likely, I hope it's not the case, but I'm kind of answering your next question. For them to most likely see the final game at the American Airlines Center for a team that is the fifth best team in Mavericks history, most likely, if you look at five times the Western Conference Finals, this, if we lose tomorrow night, this will be the, you never lost 4-1 in the Western Conference Finals. So you would rank them as 11-06, I would guess 88, then 03,
and then this one.
So this is the fifth best team in Dallas Mavericks history, and you got to give them plenty of standing ovations last night for their play and then leave the arena feeling good about your team this season.
Wait, you still think that this team is better than the 07 team that happened to lose in the first round?
Well, I guess the result.
Okay.
But to your point, yeah, well, that was the best team in the NBA until it mattered, and then their pants got crapped on.
That does give me complicated feelings about that season, but you're right. We should not dismiss the 67-15 team that still started 0-4 and still ended up at 67-15, but yeah, no, I understand your point.
I'm just amazed that they took their pants off and then crapped on the pants. That's how embarrassed they were at that
Chiafalo
point.
Chiafalo style right there.
Oh, my God.
Chiafalo, did you hear he doesn't have to shave his beard? Listened to G-Bag. He'd put his beard on the line.
What does he get?
That's
just saying, I'm so sure. He's like, I'm so sure.
Why do people make these bets?
Yeah, every human instinct is the first thing is, what's in it for me? Yeah. And for some reason, with these bets, a lot of people will not be like, well, what do I get out of it? They're just like, maybe they just get the satisfaction. That's all they want is the satisfaction of getting that opportunity.
Yeah. If the Cowboys would have won the Super Bowl, I would have had starred nipples.
It would have been awesome.
But they didn't. Mm-hmm. And I'm really glad they
didn't. It would have been glorious.
I shouldn't have said
double
that.
Double or nothing?
Nope. I am Kevin. I'm happy. I am happy. I'm not relieved. I'm happy that they won last night. Like, that's because now, you know, losing 4-0 would have been awful. I would have hated that. I would have been like, damn, that leaves a real disgusting taste in the mouth, but losing 4-0. But now winning 4-0 for the next stretch here would be amazing, right? Like, if you can go on a 4-game win streak right now because you figured something out, or you finally played and they didn't, or they did what they do. They sometimes play the hare in the tortoise and the hare matchup, and they did it last night. They were like, you know what? We're going to go ahead and pull everybody early in this game, and we'll sit it out. And then they were like, hold on, our bench got us into this game? Let's go ahead and try and steal it here at the end and see what happens. But it didn't happen. You know, the Mavericks were able to do it last night. So I do think this team can make some noise in Game 5.
Okay.
I am positive about this.
And that is what I'm excited about. By the way, I do see people on the fan text. Yeah, I feel you, that it was Zach, not Eric, that put his put his beard on the line.
It's okay. So, Mike, it took Mike, what, 7-8 months to figure out which one of us was us? So it's going to take him a little
and
bit
And how
to
much
figure
longer
out.
To figure out that Peyton wasn't Peyton Walter? So, we've got some work to do.
Blessings, Russell.
Guys. Yes. Yes, Mike, I am aware.
Eric, who is the dude on Monday?
Alec?
Alec. Yeah, Alec.
I thought you were talking about Chiafalo. You're like, Eric, what's his name? What is Alec's last name?
Caruso.
No, it's not Alex Caruso.
That would be cool, though.
Oh, man. Mike walks in and he looks and he goes, not Reggie. And that's all he thinks.
Smith. Brown. White.
Hold on. Wait. I see, Reggie, how people get caught up in these bets where there's nothing on the line, because I was this close to saying, you know what, Mike? If you could tell me his last name, you could just have the day off tomorrow. And then I was like, well, there's nothing in that for us.
Right.
He just gets the day off. That's how confident I was. It's Medford. That is his last name.
Medford.
And so when you started saying Smith Jones, I was like, he'll never get
it. It's like
it.
Medford, just with an M.
Oh, yeah. Hercules Medford.
Yeah, there you go.
H-E-B area.
You know, you know he's going to start calling him Alec H-E-B, right? Like, there's no
What's
way.
What's his name, Alec?
No, Mike's
Alec.
Good
Baldwin.
With those.
Or Alexander, if you're fans.
Mike's good with using, like, words and creating, putting letters in different
order.
Yeah,
different mnemonic devices.
Like, his middle name is Joseph, and he was like,
Jose with the PH.
How do you say it, though?
Jose. That's how I learned how to spell it.
He'll do something to remember Medford.
This is all because these guys are very excited about the Mavs. This is why this jovial tone is here.
Yes, absolutely. Sensational. Now,
we're going all the way to San Francisco.
Okay, and here's the thing. Like, that is why I was curious about, do you think they could make some noise in Game 5? And I get it. Logistically, they will be pronounced underdogs going into that game. I'm sure we'll be back in the 6.5 point range or whatever the case is. But the last time you were there, you had control of that game.
Yeah.
You had that game. And I still, like, now I can't help. We talked about this yesterday. Will game two be the game where you're like, well, that could have kept us from getting swept?
Oh,
or
man.
Would it be the game that you're like, you could be in this series? And I'm firmly, it's at 7?
Yeah.
Okay, so there you go. You will be pronounced underdogs going into that game. But now I look at that game of saying, I still definitely agree and concede that the Warriors look like the better team. But that was the game where if you don't lose it, is this series 2-2? I know in theory it would be 2-2, but would it be 2-2 going back to Golden State for game 5? And you're like, we got ourselves a damn series here. And so I am hopeful that game 5, some wacky stuff happens and those threes keep falling and then we come on back here.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you that I think you would be at 2-2 in the series and the Mavericks would be looking like actual contenders rather than, you know, down 3-0. You guys are just a bunch of scrubs that showed up on this court tonight. That's
right.
What it felt like the rest of the league was looking at this team. The guys who knocked off the best team in the league in Phoenix.
Yeah.
That quickly got turned into, you're not even in the class of Golden State. And honestly, they've proven nothing. They really haven't proven anything other than Golden State took a night off and wants to win at home. Like, you can come up with whatever excuse you want. That's fine. Use those excuses. Go into it back in character again and go into it and say, we're on the road. Everybody in this arena wants us to fail, and we want to put crickets up in this arena.
Have you seen some of the massive bets, not just for last night's game, that have come in on the Mavericks in general? So last night, somebody bet $420,000 on the Mavericks to win last night as a -1. So clearly they cashed on that.
I saw somebody bet $50,000 to win $1.5 million if they win the series.
Yes. And that was,
that person has a lot of money.
For sure. And that was that was at the 3-0 deficit, because you wouldn't have gotten 30-1 odds.
No, I know.
At the start.
That person has a lot of money to be like, yes, the odds are 100%. That this is going to be closed out by Golden State. In fact, I heard last night that there's been 3 teams in the history of the 146-0 that have even pushed it to game 7. So you have a 3 out of a 146 times. It's even gone to game 7.
And that's why I thought these betting odds were low. The odds were 30-1. Now, I know that this is not how Vegas works. You don't go up to the window and you don't negotiate what the terms are. But if I was them, I would walk up and be like, check it. This has happened 146 times. It's never happened.
Like,
I feel like my I feel like my betting odds should be at least 146-1 or 147-1. Again, I realize that it's not how gambling works. You don't frequently, if you like work with a gambling establishment and not a friend, and you don't get to negotiate these odds. And then another person put a $10,000 bet on Dallas to win the NBA title.
Let's go.
At 75-1 in this 3 nothing deficit. And so people are dropping money, but you're probably right. These are probably people who have all of the money and see the value.
Like,
there.
You know how, you know, at the end of the Phoenix series, Jason Kidd was in the locker room and he was like, "Do you believe?" He asked him that question. They were like, "Yeah." I don't know what the speech would be if they came back from this deficit and won it. Been the first team to ever come back down 3-0 and win a series. What would Jason Kidd say at that point? Do you believe? And, like, let's go believe again, and let's get down 3-0 in the next series and see what happens. I have no clue. But, like, this moment right now is exciting because you got a shot. The only problem is, like, now I'm, like, nauseous thinking about, you know, stressing about the next game and being in that at that point.
I wonder if the Mavericks are, and what I mean by that is, I'm not stressing about this series anymore. Like, I was game two and cussing when the third quarter was happening, and midway through the fourth, I was like, "We're effed," and we were. And then in game three, I was just furious with our fans. I was furious with just how we weren't playing our desperation basketball that we had shown to play with against Phoenix at home. And then last night I was like, all right, well, I'm going to watch them. Most likely, I didn't call you guys, but I called like Ryan Dreesen and stuff. I was like, we're going to win. The NBA is going to want us to win this game.
Yeah.
Like, approximate from what I hear.
Did you also call him a fart head and realize that Luka makes players better?
No, I didn't want to get into that discussion with him because he's going to disagree. But the NBA supposedly makes on a conference finals game somewhere between $25 and $30 million per game in advertising.
Wow.
So if you get swept, that's three games that go unused. So that's approximately getting close to $100 million of advertising you lose because those games aren't played. I'm not saying the game was fixed last night or that they're going to fix game five and try to get, you know, Dallas back home. But I do think the NBA does at times manipulate things and try to help. And I didn't see like a lot of help last night, being honest. Dallas played great. Golden State kind of gave their Memphis effort a little bit better than Memphis effort, but they kind of gave their Memphis effort when they were up 3-1. But I will say this. I don't think it's going to happen as a 7-point underdog. I think that the Mavericks are going to go in kind of loose and free going, we've lost the series. We know the series is over, but let's just play. Let's just see what happens. And if they have a very close game, which hasn't happened in feels like a month for the Dallas Mavericks with 5 minutes to go, and they somehow pull off that game, all of a sudden Golden State's crapping their pants.
I agree.
We took ours off and crapped them.
Yep.
They're going to keep theirs on and crap them because they're going to get to the situation where they're going, oh, crap, we have to go back to Dallas. And we thought this thing was over, and now it's 3-2. If they somehow win, we're in a do-or-die situation. And they don't feel like, right now, they probably feel like, hey, we're fine. We are fine against Memphis. Yeah, we lost in Memphis game five. Came home. It was a close game. But came home, if I remember right. It wasn't a blowout, was it?
I don't think so.
I feel like Memphis hung in there.
Yeah.
And in the end, yes,
they won.
Memphis was hanging. And so I just think that this series is over, but if all of a sudden you find yourself with minutes to go in game five and you somehow pull off somewhat of a miracle victory, I think Golden State then goes, oh, crap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Absolutely they would.
And there was a couple of things yesterday that I think gave cause for optimism outside of just like the overall picture of you were whipping them for most of the game. Is a couple of the things that we asked for is better first half shooting and then better overall rebounding. And so what did you see? The rebounding for the game is you had 45 to 42. So you held the advantage, which, considering you'd been shellacked several times, was a big deal. And then we talked about shooting well early. In the first half, the Mavericks were 11 of 23 from three.
That sounds good.
Yes, that is 48%. That is freaking excellent. And so that allowed them not only to create a cushion, but also fought against like the stigma that they had struggled with throughout this series, as they had been junky shooting the ball early in the game at times.
Why do you think, when you talk about shooting and you talked about rebounding, why do you think how great Looney has been in this series that Steve Kerr almost gave him a night off?
So that they can win it at home.
I don't know. I mean, I think that what you're talking about.
Win it at home
about,
and have a week off.
It was just weird. I thought that Looney, who had been crushing us, to your point of like, hey, the rebounds got evened out. Well, when you look at the box score, you're like, wait, Looney played 20
like
minutes.
Everybody had like 15 minutes on that team last
like he
time.
Went at one point in the yeah. second
with
quarter.
Moody. Yeah.
He's like, let's play a 19-year-old, a 20-year-old, a 22-year-old, a 24-year-old, and Klay Thompson and see what happens for 6 minutes.
And maybe that's the, hey, I got to get these guys some experience. You know, at this
like
level,
it's a free
Western
game.
Conference Finals.
Like, yeah, I get all my draft picks besides James Wiseman, Odin. I get them Damn. All minutes. In this Western Conference Finals, that it's almost like I'm going to give them free minutes here to see if they can kind of, I don't know, maybe get over their nerves type of deal. Because I know he's a little bit older, but my gosh, they put Josh Green in for 2 minutes in the fourth quarter, and he once again, I was like, oh God, like I know we're up by a zillion, but I think we have to get him out of the game.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we're going to completely change gears and talk about the tragedy in Texas. You can do this. We can do this however you like. We will be reading your text 877-881-1053. But I also want to integrate some quarantine chronicles in here. If you have some positive news that you want to talk about as well to try to help prop some people up, we want to hear all of it. We will dive into it next right here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 through The Fan. We talked about the Mavs. We will talk about the Mavs plenty more today off of their 119-109 Game 4 victory over the Warriors. But for a lot of people, sports fans, otherwise humans who live in this world, a lot of things kind of stopped and focused in on Texas for completely different reasons yesterday, and I know that getting into these topics usually gets some sort of snarky response on the fan text of like, well, I'm going to change the station. Fair enough. If that's what you need to do, fair enough. But we're going to talk about the shooting at the elementary school here in Texas yesterday where, like, it wasn't bad enough. You're like, oh, man, 14 kids are dead, and they're like, that's awful. Actually, the number is higher, and then you see that the number goes higher, and it just becomes like crushing every time you see an updated number on that. So I want to open it up for the text 877-881-1053 if you want to get involved in the conversation, whatever aspect you want to get into. But also, if you've got some positive news in your life that you want to share to try to bring some level of positivity on what feels like a crushing set of circumstances.
You know, Kevin, I think you've done a really good job of opening up on some like the things that have affected you mentally lately, and especially, you know, what you've gone through trying to make a child.
Yeah.
And I think you've had some of those really open and honest moments. And last night I was like, man, I'm having a hard time.
Okay.
Like I didn't want to come to work today. All I want is to be at home with my kids. My kids are at school though.
Yep.
They have 2 days left. They have 2.5 days left. Some kids' last days were yesterday. Some kids had a last day a couple days ago. And Kevin brought up the Buffalo story multiple times this week, and I really didn't give a crap about the pro athletes paying for the funerals of those kids. That didn't matter to me. The only thing I cared about was the fact that none of those kids had to die. None of those parents deserved to lose their child. But we've spent years, almost decades now, trying to convince ourselves that thoughts and prayers are the best we can contribute to a reaction of mass murders of kids. Like it almost feels like a leak in the roof is all we need to distract us from reality. We're a touchdown away from happiness.
Right.
I'm having almost crippling anxiety from the fact that we can't fix one of the sickest crimes in our country. Like my depression today, it's not just because of the weather does affect me a lot, but my depression today, the reason that I don't want to be here today is because I'm incapable of looking at my daughter and not getting a terrifying image of blood splatter across her face. I have nightmares of seeing a bullet hole in my son's forehead. Legitimately. Like, I would trade my soul for what I can only imagine is a horror for the child who feels a bullet pass through their chest when they're trying to learn math. And I don't think a single listener out there wants a child to stop living with that being their last moment. Like last night I went to an eighth grade graduation. All right. All I could think about was that all of those kids got that experience, that they weren't dead.
Yeah.
I should have been having a dumb debate as whether or not an eighth grade graduation is a thing. Like that's what I should have been doing last night. Unfortunately, I also spent my time trying to figure out if one of them was hurting so badly inside that they had to kill as many people in that room as they could before somebody stopped them. Like most days, I get up and I go about my business and I hope for the best, but there is something dark that does not want the best for us. There's something out there that creeps into somebody's soul and says, tomorrow, we're going to pull that trigger again and again and again, and no matter who screams, we won't stop. That's not what we want, is it? And maybe I've shared this story a lot. Maybe I feel this passionately about it because one of my friends snuck a 44 Magnum into school, stuck it in his mouth, shook an entire classroom, an entire school, a community, and even more people than he even thought that he would for the rest of their lives. I'm dealing with that emotional crap still to this day. How did he get that gun in there? How did he even get a gun in the first place at 16 years old? I wrote a will when I was in the fourth grade after that happened, just in case I died.
Yeah.
Because my friend killed himself. 19 kids and two teachers have friends and families who are going to be trying to figure out if they should be writing wills or not, sitting in their rooms trying to figure that out. And I don't have a motive on this. I don't have a motive other than I think we're capable of coming up with better solutions together. I think we have a very smart people in this world, all experiencing this thing together. And I think we can keep ourselves from having to experience this frequently, like every week. I did not want to come to work today. I didn't text you about it or anything. I didn't say anything to you guys about it, but I didn't want to be here at all. And I'm still having a hard time being in this room right now and not being at home with my kids. But I'm here, and I hope that people can kind of come up with some real solutions, because my wife dropped off our kids this morning and she said it was the most difficult thing she's done in years. Since the first time she dropped off our kids at school. It's the most, I couldn't even imagine what she was going through this morning. So I guess my positive, Kevin, is that my son graduated eighth grade, if that's right. A thing, you know,
right.
Like he's just going to high school is what I call it.
Right.
But I'm struggling today. Just, and it happens too often for all of us.
Now we asked for some, if there's anything positive happening in your life that you want to share from the 817 after 20 plus year career as a municipal police officer. This person said their husband is now a police officer for an elementary school in their town and want to thank those who protect and love our school children every single day. So that is absolutely some positivity right there from the 469. My girlfriend is pregnant, just found out yesterday, and then dropped in, which I definitely understand, but we're going to be homeschooling because they are also worried about the same exact thing that you just talked about. And, you know, take this for whatever you will. I'm not trying to place blame or judgment on one side or another, but one of the reasons we do talk about mental health so much is for situations just like this, not necessarily just the shooter, but all the aftermath of how people like rebuild their lives and what they're supposed to do. Like, I remember it was one of the saddest like stories that I just remember hearing is when Patton Oswalt, and this is not necessarily just focused on like this shooting, but just like how you cope with losing a child in general. Patton Oswalt talked about when his first wife died, he went to go pick his daughter up from elementary school. And he said, I drove around and we went to go get to ice cream and everything. And we did all these other things because I wanted to delay as long as possible that my daughter's world was about to change, you know? And it's just like, that is just so crushing because you're like, I mean, it's nice that he's doing things for his daughter, and I certainly understand the reason why, but there's nothing that's going to change like the outcome. And so I was thinking about like, it is so terrible. Obviously, all of the people that died, that is horrific, and I can't even begin to fathom how you process that. But then I started thinking about for the people who do have to process that, for the parents who have to process that, for the siblings that have to process that. I was like, man, I don't even begin to understand how you go through that. And so that's another reason that just like, what are you going to do about it? You know, because I see people tweet out like enough or something's got to change. And I appreciate that, like depending on what your follow up is. So For example, like DeMarcus Lawrence, like I saw him asking all these questions and then like reaching out and he was like, hey, LeBron, what do you know about like, and it seemed like he was like taking the steps to see like, what do you know? What can I do? This and that. Whether or not you agree with Steve Kerr politically, and like, I'm not here to get into that, but he referenced a specific thing in HR 8 that he thinks should get passed. Now, whether or not you agree with it, he's like, this is what I would like to do about it. And so I appreciate the people who are taking a step to try to do something about it, whether you agree with it, whether you don't. And the step that I choose to take is to continue to support places that talk about mental health, because maybe you need them in the aftermath of all of this. Maybe it changes something in the beforehand. Maybe it doesn't. But that's why we talk about mental health so much. And that's why we talk about NAMI so much.
And you know, one of the frustrating things about this is, I get it, right? I'm clearly here on this show, if nowhere else. We care about, and we don't trivialize the problem of mental health. But the folks who are inclined to talk about shootings like this or others in the purview of mental health, the frustrating part for me is that so rarely do we actually get the back end result of change on it, right? Mental health care has not become more accessible in seeing these. In the, what, almost decades since Sandy Hook, we haven't seen, we've seen that rhetoric change. We haven't seen the tangible things change. And so I find myself almost disillusioned, right? Because this happens and it feels like we've fallen into a certain cycle, right? Where some folks give thoughts and prayers and then some folks get angry about that. And even the anger feels cliche at this point, right? And then we start dunking on each other on social media. And some of that just feels like a reaction of folks who feel helpless. And even at this point, the fatalism of, well, nothing's going to change is frustrating to me. Like, I come to become like pretty, I don't even know what the right word, but I'm almost resentful of living in a country that's gotten me to a place where I've just gotten used to the feeling of this thing happening and not having any level of recourse. And that's the most frustrating part, or maybe not the most frustrating, because hell, why would I rank what's, you know, the frustrations of this, but just the fact that if you think it's mental health, all right, let's pony up and do something.
Yes.
Right? If you think it's gun reform, all right, let's pony up and do something. But
yes,
the fatalism of this is so damn frustrating. And I get it, right? Hug your loved ones, try and keep them safe. But the fact of the matter is that school ain't going to protect them and homeschooling them ain't going to protect them. And it just feels so damn frustrating.
And I'm gonna go ahead and take a chance, and I'm hoping this won't piss people off, but you know what? It might. Is I very much am on one side of the political spectrum, but a lot of times I do not agree with my side's general thoughts about politics. And when something like this happens, let's just say with this, for example, is I think both sides violate this all the time, and they're so full of S when they say don't politicize it, is Republicans today are saying, well, you shouldn't be politicizing this as soon as it happens. But I guarantee you this, and I believe this with every part of my soul, and before people get too mad, this is the political party that I'm part of, but this, I believe this to my soul. If you found out that the person who did that shooting was an illegal immigrant, you can kiss my ass if you don't think that would be made political, all right? Both sides want to push whatever their agenda is, but quite frankly, sometimes in the moment, there's no better time to do it. Because I do, Reggie, I get tired of sometimes listening to people like, well, now's not the time to talk about it. Of course it is, because this is the only time people are going to pay attention. Think about it. That Buffalo thing didn't happen that long ago, but guess what? It was over. Like, national scheme. I realize for the people that it happened to in the community, it's not over. It won't be over for a really long time. But I'm saying, as a talking point, it was over. People are back to gas prices and inflation.
Brother, when we got through the point of Sandy Hook and babies getting massacred, and then we got through the point of politicians themselves getting shot up and nothing happened, I was just like, oh, so y'all don't want to do anything. And from the 903, hold the lawmakers accountable. That's pretty much where I'm at, right? I saw Tank Lawrence get on here and get on the social media and say, you know, where can I donate to, like, you know, try and buy protection or whatever it was. I apologize because I'm misremembering. But ultimately, Like, we're not going to buy our ways out of this. We're not going to capitalism our way out of this, right? I know it's frustrating because we get to these places where we start talking about things and people say, this is my escape. But, like, you're not escaping this. We're seeing this all too frequently. And the fact of the matter is, yeah, we don't want to talk politics. Ultimately, policy is how you change this.
Yes. And I'm really glad that you said that. The last thing that I want to say, and then if anybody else has anything, I am glad to hear it, is I see this a lot on the fan text. And I actually do agree with this. Bad people will find a way to do bad things. I agree with that. However,
well, then why do any lawmaking?
That's exactly right.
Why do any lawmaking?
That is exactly what I think. However, that doesn't mean you shouldn't do anything. Like, I've seen some people, again, from my own political party that I happen to believe in, and I hope you'll still listen to the show nonetheless, is like, well, these things aren't going to change it. Fair enough. Then let's go to the table, and what do you think will? Because if you think nothing will, that's a problem too. And so if you don't think it's HR 8, okay. What is it? Like, give me a different idea. Don't just say this idea won't work if you're not going to give me a different idea. So if you don't agree with Steve Kerr about HR 8 and background checks universally, okay, fair enough. What do you got? Like, because I can't do anything yet, but I hope that the people who can are going to listen. If you're like, I'm against this, but here's what I propose. Okay, let's hear it. Like, I want to hear it.
Is the masterpiece running for governor or is it running for... President, what are we doing here? Oh, you just said yeah. I'm feeling like we got to go do something now.
Man, it's probably because I just started season 3 of The Wire and I got caught up with the political part and I saw how a city council person can like try to take over
everything.
So, yes, look, whether you agree, whether you don't agree, I appreciate you guys having the conversation, except for the people who start calling names. So from the 214, I don't appreciate you because you weren't actually listening and you decided to call names. But, you know, such is the world. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Baseball Nuggets with Mike Bacsik.
What position do you want improved the most with the Texas Rangers? Next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for Baseball Nuggets with Mike Bacsik.
Okay, so... let's talk about the Rangers real quick in this. So far, free agency hasn't worked out for the Texas Rangers.
Nope.
Let's be honest. We're, you know, a fourth of the way through the season, and so far, Marcus Semien has been, I don't know other way to put it, I'm trying to be really bad.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean he's going to be really bad for his seven-year, eight-year contract, but so far, it's been really bad. Like, worse than Rougned Odor bad.
Rougned Odor.
Yeah. Seager's been okay.
Yeah.
But not.
But you thought, like, these two guys were going to, like, right. jumpstart our offense.
Right. Now, that being said,
I
don't want to improve second base or shortstop in the future. We're kind of locked in there, and I do believe those guys can be productive players in their position in the future. Whether it's this year, whether it's next year, I do believe in Seager and Semien will help out the Texas Rangers at some point be a winning franchise, a team that's competing for a playoff spot.
Right.
But I was thinking about this last night as I was watching both the Rangers and the Mavericks, and I was like, man, what position do I want improved the most going into the future? And so I'll give you my answer, and then I'd love to hear y'all's answer.
Okay.
Is mine right now, and I look at also the farm system, and I go, I think I want first base improved the most.
Oh.
And so here's where I'm going to come in. I think Nate Lowe's okay. I think Nate Lowe is a placeholder for the next first baseman of the Texas Rangers. It was supposed to be Ronald Guzman. That didn't work out. They went and picked up Nate Lowe for very cheap. You know, I believe I don't remember this. He might have been DFA designated for assignment by Tampa. And so the Rangers picked him up, or maybe they traded for him. But it was a very minor move of kind of like Adolis Garcia. Like, yeah. Hey, the Cardinals don't want him anymore. Tampa doesn't want you anymore. We have space here. You used to be a talent, somebody that people thought maybe kind of highly of. Let's try you out. And at times, Nate Lowe has been a very productive player for the Rangers. Just recently, he had a walk-off home run against the Angels to win a game. But I look at him and go, defensively, you probably want better at first. Offensively, you probably want better at first. And so I'm going to give you my off-season solution. I think you let Nate Lowe play it out. And if Nate Lowe at the end of the year bats 270 with 25 homers and 25 doubles and a 350 on base percentage, hey, we don't need to go get a first baseman.
Yeah.
But I coached against him in high school. He was the best outfield prospect in the draft that year. And that's Josh Bell. He's moved to first base. Really yeah. big guy. If you look at what he did in 2019 is when he finally broke out. He made the All-Star team in 2019 at 26 years old. He had 37 homers, 37 doubles, 116 RBIs. He had an on-base percentage of .367, an OPS of .936. I don't count 2020. That's like a fake season kind of because right. you only played a third of a season. So it's tough to kind of, oh, those stats count because you don't know how it'd play out. Just like right now, if we had to think right. about this. Right now, Marcus Semien would have about 10 to 15 games left to improve his .177 batting average.
Yeah.
So it's really tough to like, well, these were his numbers. Last year, first year in Washington, 27 homers, 24 doubles, .261 batting average, 88 RBI, 75 runs scored, an .823 OPS. This year right now, and the other thing too is I'm not saying he's going to cost $25 million. I think he's going to be $20 million at okay. most per year, is he's batting .295 with a .797 OPS. He has four homers, 23 RBIs, seven doubles. So right now his power's down for the year. But overall, he is batting .295 with a .380 on base percentage. And I do think at the end of the year here, he's going to have somewhere between 25 and 35 home runs. I think he has the pop to do that. So for me, guys, I would look at the and the other thing too is I don't know anybody who can play first base in the minor leagues. I don't think we have a first baseman that I'm forgetting about that's like a year or two yeah. away.
Sam Huff. Like yeah. honestly.
And so that's a catcher.
And, yeah. and maybe we don't improve first by Sam Huff going to yeah. first. I don't know. But I would add switch hitting Josh Bell to this team in the offseason.
Okay. I don't know if you think this is cheating, and maybe it is, but can I say corner outfielders?
Yeah.
Because, man, it felt like there was a time, and maybe we don't feel this way anymore, where it was like, you'll figure out corner outfielders. What you really need is you need your center fielder. Like, if you can find a combination of somebody who's got a good enough arm, has speed, and is respectable at the plate, and anything you can get above that is all good. But corner outfield will be fine. It feels like we continue, whether it was Willie Calhoun not working out, whether it was maybe some of your free agent moves being mediocre at best, I feel like we continue to struggle at the corner outfields, especially given their proclivity for putting Adolis Garcia in center.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I think that there's room for quite a few places of improvement on this team. So I'm not saying, I'm still picking first base. You're wrong, Kevin.
Yeah.
I think that there needs to be at least one more outfielder that develops. Now, is it going to be Bubba Thompson? Is it going to be Leody Taveras? Those are your higher up guys. If you look at Evan Carter, he's having a really good year in A-ball. He's 19 years old, but you're looking at two more years. Next year, he's going to play double-A baseball.
Yeah.
The year after that, he's probably going to play triple-A baseball. And then in 2024, you're hoping that Evan Carter can be a major piece to your outfield. So, I mean, maybe a guy that I look at and really like is still 2.5 years away from developing into a major league player.
I fell into the trap that you were talking about yesterday when you were talking about Taveras. I was thinking, like, when you talked about how his stat line is decreased, my initial thought was, now that's what I'm more used to. And I know that's not fair when you talked about, because he was up here, if you look at the totality of his stats, they're good. But I'm worried he's going to go back down to the level that we're used to.
Corey, position you kind of want improved the most going into the future.
Third base.
All right.
And because I don't know about Josh Young.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate. Like, we like the guy. You know, we like the guy. It's just we don't know enough about him to say, well, once he's up here, everything's going to be fine there. I think you can get some power out of that position. I think you can add, you know, a good hitter at that spot, too. Look at what Trevor Story is doing right now. Like, he was player of the week this week. Like, that's
home
cool
run
and everything.
Last night, I believe, too.
I don't know, Mike. This is the option that I want because he's young and he has, I think, 1 year of arbitration left is Rafael Devers. I know, like, that's like, it sounds insane, but he's in the range of
dream big, Corey.
Yeah, I do dream
to
big.
To your point, though,
Correa, Lindor, Seager, Betts, that's how much money you have to spend on him.
I agree. If we signed him, I'd want him to be my first baseman.
Because of his defensive liabilities?
He's not a good defensive
third
baseman.
He spent the offseason working on his defense, though.
Hopefully everybody did. But to your point,
he's in the best shape of his life defensively.
He's one of the best hitters in the game, kind of maybe the most underrated hitter in the game, because I don't think he's on Juan Soto's level.
Right.
But he's not far off. But I would say, I would love Rafael Devers when he becomes a free agent. But I just wonder, when he becomes a free agent, I just have this feeling teams are going to go, hey, how about putting on a bigger glove and standing at first base?
Yeah, no, that definitely could be something for him in the future. So maybe that does solve two problems at one time. We'll move Nate Lowe over to third.
It's amazing.
Never mind.
Well, no. It's amazing. That the Rangers are staying in these games. I know they've lost 4 out of 5, but their record still overall isn't bad, especially after a 2-9 start, is that this is all about pitching. The reason that you're 18-23 and not probably 13-30 approximately is because of your pitching. If your pitching was just average or below average, you would probably be looking at a 13-15 win team right now.
Yeah.
But because the pitching has been so good, you've been able to sneak out some wins.
There's no way in hell I would have guessed it like this. Like, if you told me this is where the Rangers are, I'd be like, sure. And then you explained it to me, I'd been like, huh?
Yeah.
And we would have to go, like, and start.
I know not many people watched last night's game. Totally get it. I get there was a Western Conference Finals on. Last thing I'll leave you with is, if you had a good defensive team play last night, you might have still won that game. But so last night, yes, hitting didn't do well. Dane Dunning, you can look at a box score and go, oh, he gave up 4 in the fourth inning. But if he had a decent defense behind him in the fourth inning, it might have been 1, maybe 2 runs.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, the Mavs win and Luka notches another incredible achievement. We'll talk about it all next right here on The Fan. Oh, oh,
oh. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.